back, everyone. You are listening to the Rudd Report, and I'm Lauren Rudd, and we have a guest on the show today. We have a gentleman who is going to tell you about financial self-defense. I guess that's one of the best ways of putting it. He's Hill Presser. He's an attorney operating a law firm called Presser Law. He's a former adjunct professor at Lynn University, and he's got a book called Financial Self-Defense, The Guide to Asset Protection and Legal Ways to Safeguard Your Wealth. Hill, are you with me?
I am. Thanks for having me today.
Very good. Why don't you give us a little bit of background about you and the book, and what's the book all about? What is this financial defense thing?
Sure. Well, what we do is solely asset protection. And essentially what asset protection is we help our clients protect any asset they have from any financial threat. So our clients might be lawyers, doctors, business owners, professional athletes, really anybody who doesn't want to lose what they've worked their whole life to obtain. And the type of assets we help them protect might be as simple as checking, savings, stocks, bonds, CDs, money market accounts, might be their homes, rental real estate, might be shares in a corporation, their business, you know, anything of value, and we help them protect it against any financial disaster. So in today's day and age, lawsuits, short sale or foreclosure deficiencies, creditors, judgments, divorce, you know, really anything that can take away what our clients have worked their whole lives to obtain. And the latest best-selling book, which is Financial Self-Defense, How to Protect Everything You Own from Everyone Every Time, actually goes into different chapters of how to protect every specific asset. So how to protect the house, how to protect the rental property, how to protect the brokerage accounts. And then the second half of the book goes into how to protect in specific situations. So how to protect in divorce, how to protect in foreclosure deficiencies, et cetera, et cetera. And Lauren, if any of your listeners go to our website, which is www.assetprotectionattorneys.com, as long as they mentioned your show, I'm going to send them a free copy of the new book.
Very good. Now, let me ask you a question. Some of these things that, you know, now I personally, yes, I've been through a divorce. I know what that program is all about, unfortunately. The question I have for you, any kind of financial, you know, like bankruptcy or judgment or anything against me, but some of these things aren't they legally indefensible? I mean, for example, if you get divorced, your spouse is probably, I think the state of Florida I'm not sure, I was never divorced here, so is it a state where you just divide property 50-50? If you get a judgment against you for some kind of, like, automobile violation, or, you know, you're sued by, you know, in terms of an automobile accident, and you lose. Now, you have insurance coverage, at least I hope you do, up to a point, but how do you protect yourself with these things that really, legally, people can come after you?
Sure. Well, first of all, you know, we're not trying to promote the idea that people shouldn't pay their debts or their regular claims. You know, what
right.
We hope that people use our services for are to protect against any frivolous lawsuits. You know, in today's bad economy, people are losing their jobs. The people who are lucky enough to keep them are making less and less, and it seems like lawsuits are becoming the next biggest business. You know, there's a lawyer on every corner who will take your case for free on a contingency fee basis, and will go after and sue someone, and, you know, it's going to cost that other person tens of thousands of dollars to defend the case. In regards to an actual divorce, obviously it depends on the state you're in, obviously it depends how long you've been married, et cetera, et cetera. But it really works especially for people who are going into second and third marriages. You know, you might want the children to have the money. You know, you might want to have a sibling have the money. You might not want the money to go, you know, to a second or third husband or wife. In regards to the car accident situation, you know, it's our job to make it so difficult and so expensive, if not impossible, for anybody to collect against you that either they don't sue you in the first place, or if they do, you know, if our clients can settle for 5, 10, 15, 20 cents on the dollar, you know, we feel like we've done our job correctly. And we would certainly protect somebody from a car accident. I mean, nobody gets up in the morning and expects to be sued, but God forbid you get in an accident, and maybe your insurance doesn't cover it, maybe your insurance is inadequate, maybe your insurance company goes out of business, who knows what it is, you know, you don't want to lose all your personal assets. And if you structure them in a way proactively, there is a way to save them.
I mean, obviously, yeah, and I mean, I have been the subject of a frivolous lawsuit. Now, I did win, but it took me two and a half years, and you have to advance the legal fees, of course, which wasn't life-threatening, but there was, you know, this is a nice chunk of change. Now, I did
not even the legal fees. I mean, think about it. I mean, you know, you're on the show, you know, for a few hours, you probably go back to hundreds of emails and missed calls. I mean, 2.5 years of opportunity cost, that's huge.
Oh, I agree. I couldn't agree with you more. And the thing I was going to point out is that if I had lost the suit, even though it was a frivolous suit, and you know, I thought it was frivolous. If the judge hadn't viewed it that way and I had lost, well, yes, they could have come at. They probably couldn't take it in my house, but they could have come after me for some assets of you know, six figures in assets. So, which I don't want to lose, obviously.
Yeah.
So,
and
you have a very valid. You know, you have a very valid point that you need to protect your financial assets. What's the most common? Where do people usually get hung up the most?
You know, probably on the fact that they don't even know we exist. You know, there's probably thousands of criminal defense attorneys, thousands of personal injury attorneys, thousands of real estate attorneys in every single city. There's very few asset protection attorneys. You know, we might only compete with, you know, 10, 15, 20 people in the country. So it's a very small niche, and I think a lot of people don't even know we exist until it's too late. And, you know, the thing with asset protection is you have to be proactive. You know, you can't buy car insurance after you get in an accident, and, you know, you can't buy health insurance after you get sick. You know, there's no difference with asset protection. You need to make sure that you're doing it legally and ethically, and that you're doing things beforehand, and that you're doing proactive and prior advanced planning.
Let me ask you a quick question, then we'll continue. I understand, and because I've got some clients in the position that, you know, if you lose a lawsuit, if you've moved assets around to try to protect them, say 10, 15, 20 days, 30 days, or some period of time right before you get a judgment against you, the judge can overrule that. Is that correct?
Yeah, what you're referring to is a fraudulent transfer. And the definition of a fraudulent transfer is when you have a present or potential creditor, you transfer assets out of your name to another person or company, and you do so for less than fair market value. If you do that, then the creditor can go after you. He doesn't actually go after you. He actually goes after the person that you transferred the assets to. So let's say you had somebody suing you, and you had $100,000 to your name, and you gave it to your brother. Your brother gave you nothing in return, no car, no boat, no condo, no services. That's a clear and cut fraudulent transfer, because you had a present creditor, you transferred $100,000 to your brother, you got nothing in return. The creditor would then go after your brother. He would sue your brother for what's called a fraudulent transfer. It's a civil issue, not a criminal issue. And if he wins, the judge would order your brother to give the $100,000 back to you, and thus, of course, you'd have to pay the creditor.
I see. So, but it has to be something that's done relatively short period of time before you get a judgment. Is that correct?
Yeah, they're usually...
If I do it a year earlier, and if somebody happens to sue me a year down the road, that's too bad for them.
Well, it depends if you knew the lawsuit was coming. Fraudulent transfer is a very broad statute, and, you know, just like most areas of the law, it's not black and white, it's very gray. They usually have about a four-year look-back period, but, you know, if you transferred your assets today, and then, you know, a year from now you got in a car accident, you'd have no issue, because you had absolutely no idea that you would have a car accident lawsuit. Now, if you get in a car accident today, and then you transfer it tomorrow, and then a year later they sue you, that could still be a fraudulent transfer, because you transferred it after the event.
Gotcha. Okay. No, I have to admit, I did not know you existed. Now, I did get some advice. I don't want to get too personal. I did get some advice when I got divorced from an attorney, saying that, you know, you can't hide anything, but on the other hand, you know, if they don't ask, you don't have to tell. So, and, you know, they did ask, so I mean, I had to tell. But, I mean, I did have corporate assets and things that they could not go after. But the question is you know, I did it way before. But, I mean, I was told to protect some of my things, you know. Prenuptial agreements don't protect you. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, certainly they're better than nothing. I mean, I always advise them, but, you know, you have to have belt and suspenders. So, you know, the more layers, the more firewalls you can have, the better. And, you know, asset protection, I tell my clients, you know, it's not about hiding or secrecy. You know, I'm not telling you to go stand on top of a mountain and tell everybody what you have and where it is. I mean, certainly you want to keep things as private as possible, but it's about protection, not secrecy. You know, we tell all our clients that at some point they could be in a deposition, and under oath they might be asked what they have. And you always have to be honest, you always have to be ethical. legal. So the important thing is not so much if someone finds out you have an asset, but the more important thing is it protected or not? You know, I could tell you where all my assets are, you just can't touch them.
What's the basis of your protection? What exactly do you do? Or can you give us just, because we only have about 3 or 4 minutes, what could you say in 2 or 3 minutes they tell people, what is it they could expect if they come and see you?
Three main strategies. You want to take any assets that are non-exempt and turn them into exempt assets. Exempt assets are different assets that just happen to be protected by state law. So, for example, in Florida, life insurance, annuities, your home, those are all protected. So why not take an unprotected cash in the bank and invest it in assets that are protected? Number two, title everything to a protective entity. Anything that's in your personal name, somebody can take. So we set up dozens of protective entities like LLCs, limited partnerships, corporations, trusts. We do work both inside the United States and outside of the United States. You know, the key there is to own nothing but control everything. And thirdly, you always want to equity strip your assets. You know, what's a $100,000 car worth if you owe $95,000? What's a $500,000 house worth if you owe $495,000? Get lines of credit, get mortgages. You know, make yourself as unattractive a candidate as possible for a lawsuit.
That makes a lot of sense. So transferring things into corporations could be a possible solution to a part of a solution to a problem.
Definitely, but with an actual corporation, there's two types. There's an S-Corp and a C-Corp, and you have to be very careful because if you own the shares in the S-Corp or if you own the shares in the C-Corp, that's also an asset. So a creditor can take your shares in your S-Corp or C-Corp and actually take over your entire business. So if you're going to put things in a corporation, you need to make sure then that those shares are protected.
And how would you do that? You have to give them to somebody else, right?
Well, not somebody else, because you never want to title your assets to what I call the straw, and that's because they usually have more legal and financial problems than you. But, you know, if you have a C-Corp, you know, you might want to have those shares owned by an LLC or a limited partnership. If you have an S-Corp, you might want to have those shares owned, husband and wife, as tenants by entirety, or maybe by a special trust that's allowed to own S-Corp shares. You know, everybody's assets are different, and everybody's potential threats and creditors are different, and there's no one-size-fits-all, so you really have to find what's the right fit for you.
So you could have your C shares held by a limited partnership.
Correct.
But eventually, don't you end up owning, someplace along the line, don't you end up owning the controlling interest? I mean, maybe I don't know much about limited partnerships, but you know, if I transfer to a limited partnership, don't I control the limited partnership?
You do, but the way a limited partnership works is much different than a corporation. If you own the shares in a corporation, the creditor can take your shares. If you own the interest in a limited partnership, all they can get is what's called a charging order, and they're not going to have any access to any shares, any money, any decision making. So you're much safer. I mean, it's 100 times fold.
Wow. I learned something today, that's for sure. Hey, I really appreciate it. We have to go. We'll probably have you back again because I'd like to delve into this a little more deeply. That's a fascinating topic, and I appreciate it. His book's title is Financial Self-Defense. Hillel Presser, if you go to his website, you can get a free copy of the book. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.